Hi, this is Joe Patty. Thanks for listening to WRTI Online. This service is made possible through the support of WRTI's members. You can become a member, too. Since you're already online, just visit www.wrti.org and click the Become a Member link on the upper left corner of the webpage. You can also join us by phone at 1-866-809-9784. Your membership will help keep WRTI's broadcast and online services strong. And again, thank you. Now, on with the show.
Hello.
Hello.
Monsieur Thibaudet.
Yes.
My name is Jill Pasternak. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm just fine, thank you. And I'm delighted that you could find time to speak with us.
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know where to start with you. I've wanted to speak with you for years, actually, but you are so busy, one can't catch up with you. The thing that really spurred me this time was I saw the film Atonement, and yes. I was very taken, of course, with the film, but all the way through the haunting music. And when I saw the credits and I saw that you were the pianist, I said, oh, my goodness, it's wonderful to see him back on the scene again doing the score. So how did you feel about that,
experience? I love doing that kind of work so much. You know, it's so different from what I do every day, just playing concerts and the usual things. And making, you know, just working with the film industry and working on those film scores is such a exciting venture for me. I did the Pride and Prejudice,
yes,
for the last one.
And you won an award for that, I believe, in 2005.
We were nominated for an Oscar.
Yes. And I think, now The Atonement, is that nominated? I know the Golden Globe, I think.
We actually won the Golden Globe for music.
And artist as well, right?
And also for the best movie.
Yes.
And not the best director, the best movie. Yeah, there were quite a few Golden Globes.
Again, it was so haunting, and your playing was absolutely perfect. I can't tell you, the whole film is extremely surprising and very, very profound.
Yeah, it's a beautiful movie, really. And Dario Marianelli, the composer, is such a fantastic composer because he's so flexible. He can write, you know, for so many different movies, and each time it's completely different music, even that he has his own style. I mean, there's something very unique about the way he writes music,
but
still, they're so different. And in this movie, it's just so perfectly together with the feeling, the atmosphere, and that's what I love about this work, is that we are watching the movie, we're watching a scene, a specific scene, and then we record the music, and we look at it again, and we record it again, and it's just so different.
Well, yes, you just answered my question. I was going to say the whole technique of doing this is you have to see the action, of course.
Oh, absolutely.
And then they record you, is that right?
Absolutely. So we do see the action. The director, Joe Wright, who is also a phenomenal artist. He's really such a great, gifted director. He's there, and I mean, a lot of people are there. It's really, people don't always realize, but the music is really so important for the movie, and that's why the directors are so, you know, they just want to be there, and they're part of the recording, and they really, we discuss it together. So he always tells me the story, how he feels about that scene, and we watch it, and then we go in the studio and we record the music. And even when, I mean, as we're recording the music, during the time we're recording, we have a monitor right near next to the piano. And we actually are watching the scene because it's also the timing is involved. And that's what it gets really difficult.
Yes, that's a sticky situation,
well,
I guess.
Well, it's of essence that we are exactly. So sometimes we have to do it many, many times. Not only we have to catch the right mood and everything, but at the same time, it needs to be exactly in the timing that is needed in that particular moment. So it's kind of a challenge. It's a very different challenge, and that's what I really like about it.
Well, it's kind of like playing for silent movies, isn't it?
Yes, this must have been really so funny.
Must have been terrible. I mean, they had to do all kinds of things, change the mood, and improvise, I think, as well. But I must say, even the end title, when you are playing in the theater and they're running the credits, that was such a powerful time as well. I can't even explain it because normally I would not sit through, you know, but here it was. And then I said, oh my goodness, he's back at it again. Where do you find the time?
Well, it's always, you know, we've been very lucky with both movies, Pride and Prejudice and this one, because the music is always what they do last in the movie, which means they have first to finish the movie and movie never finish when they think they're going to finish. It's like they change. It's always longer than they think. I mean, it's not like, you know, my concerts, I know in 2-3 years in advance where I'm going to be, what I'm going to do. And with the movies, we can never plan that. So what happened is they called me again. I can't remember when, but they called me saying, well, we're doing a new movie together, Joe Wright and Dario, and it's going to be Atonement. And I read the book, and then he called me back. He said, I'm going to send you some music. And I said, it's wonderful. I'd love to do it. But I said, when is it going to be the recording? And that's where they said, well, it could be around February, March. And I think at the end we did it in April. So it was changing all the time. And it just by pure miracle that I had like 2 or 3 days in my calendar, and I was in Europe and I was able to fly to London. It was very, very tight. I had to fly to London. We finished the music, and then I flew to Los Angeles and I played like the next day or something. It was really tight, and it almost didn't work. But then finally, it was just a miracle. So I'm so happy that I was able to do it again. But it's always, you know, you never really know if it's going to be able to or not. Because and they cannot just for me, you know, just change. I mean, they're trying to have the studio and everything. Once they have all the things ready, they're trying to accommodate me as well, but it's not. And then they have a deadline. They also need to have the music done by a certain time. So it's just really pure, you know, magic that I was able to do it again.
Well, I think magic and expertise and artistry and all the things that go into performance, that's what you have. I mean, you are so varied, although I have known for years about your wonderful work as a classical pianist. But you also had an album called Aria.
Yes.
Which was, you had used... What was the name of the gentleman that he was quite a famous pianist himself, and he did quite a few transcriptions of arias, and then you did some of your own, isn't that right?
Yes, absolutely. Well, there's quite a few people that's involved in that CD, so I don't know which one you think about. It could be, I mean, it was Ivar Mikashov.
That's the one, Mikashov.
Oh, yeah, yes. Him there. Yes. He was a great friend.
Yes, yes.
Well, Ivar was a real amazingly talented gentleman, and he gave me all the scores.
Yes, I read that they had sent them to you. Was it after his death?
Well, actually, while he was still alive, when we were friends and meeting, we met a few times in Amsterdam, and I told him that I loved opera, and he did as well. And he gave me already a few of his scores. And when I heard that, unfortunately, he passed away, I immediately got in touch with his estate, and I said, you know, I know there's many of other scores, and I said, I'd love to, you know, have put my hands on it, so to speak.
Yes, yes, and, yes, literally.
Literally, exactly. And they sent them to me, and then I was able to make my choice on him, because he made a lot of it. And he was really one of the important ones in that project. It started around him. I mean, that's starting with his thing, then I found a lot of other ones, but he was the first one I said, I'm going to use and play his transcription, because they're so great.
Well, you do the Korngold, which is out of this world.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It's a magnificent aria. And then, of course, you've done some jazz albums. I mean, or at least tributes to...
Yeah, I've got two jazz, true. The first one was Bill Evans, and then Duke Ellington. And I had a fantastic time again doing that. You know, I'm a very curious person in all aspects in life, not only in music, but in everything.
And versatile, extremely
versatile.
Yeah,
and I love to try different things, you know, and have new experiences, and it's important for me. I adore playing recitals, I love playing with orchestras, but I need all those different ventures as well, and I have all kind of ideas in my head, and I hope we'll do some other projects, and film music, and all of that. It's just important for me, and I think it's also important for the audience, in the sense that we're trying to really, we need to reach out to bigger audience. You know, classical music is really still, unfortunately, not in everybody's home because of a lot of reasons. Education, because of, you know, sometimes parents don't have the possibility to give it to their children, and there's not enough maybe music at school. So we have to find different ways to attract those younger people to the classical music and to the concerts. And I found out that all those different things, doing all those different projects, each time you know, goes to attract a different crowd, and it just makes it grow. And the film certainly is probably one of the best vehicles for that, because you reach immediately millions of people. And so often I would play a concert, a classical concert somewhere, anywhere in the world, and after the concert I usually sign CDs and programs, and so many people would come up to me and say, you know, this is the first time I'm going to a classical concert. Mm-hmm. I got to know you through Pride and Prejudice, for example.
Yes.
I love the soundtrack, and then I saw you were in town, and I say, oh, let's go to his concert. And that's phenomenal. But there we are. We just got, you know, we just won some new people for classical music. Those people are going to buy records. They're going to go to concerts. And it gives them a completely new approach. And I think this is what we have to look at. And that's where I think the film industry is very important. And we have to work together, like in the old days. I mean, the old days, you know, all the composers of classical music and all the great players were involved in it. I mean, so many great musicians worked in the 40s and, you know, all this wonderful, the golden years of all of that period. And actually, in those days, a lot of great musicians were actually living in Los Angeles. Like Rubinstein, Heifetz, I mean, they were Rachmaninoff, I mean, the Korngold, they were all living in Los Angeles.
Yes, they were, and they were fantastic musicians. A lot of them had emigrated to Hollywood.
And they were all involved with it. It was nothing wrong with playing with the movie. Then it got kind of a second, you know, it's like if you were doing that, you were not really...
You're not really a musician,
which I hate. I mean, it's so ridiculous.
Yes. And of course, I think that film music now has reached a very, very high level. But it always was. It really was, as you say, Steiner and Korngold and Tiomkin and all those people.
I mean, even, you know, Shostakovich, Prokofiev.
Of course.
All of those wrote at some point for the movies, and they were involved
that's
in
right.
it. And they were fascinated by it. And I think we have to, again, have more... collaboration together. We can all just, it's good for all of us.
But it has been elevated. It has gained respect, I think, from the music community. There is no question about it.
I hope so. Some of those composers are just so great. They're such great talents. And I respect them, really.
And it's wonderful to hear that. Now, you live in Paris, is that right?
I live in Los Angeles, actually.
Oh.
Funny enough, LA is my primary residence. I still have a home in Paris, but I've been resident in this country for over 20 years now. I was in New York for 12 years, and now I've been 8 or 9 years in Los Angeles, and I'm very, very happy there.
Well, of course, you have you've really made a place for yourself there. And as I say, you are very, very diversified in terms of the music that you play. Now, you, of course, you won a wonderful honor recently, I think, from the Victoire de la Musique.
Such a touching thing for me. You know, it's not something that people know so well outside of France, but I would say the best description, I would say it's like the Grammys for France.
Yeah.
Because it's for the recording industry, and they have them for pop and all of that, of course. But then they have a special one, it's Victoire de la Musique for the classical music, which is wonderful. They tried to do that, I think they started a couple of maybe 7 or 8 years ago with classical. So they give the Victoire for the best album, you know, instrumentalism, and the same thing, the best orchestra, blah, blah, blah. And then, once in a while, they give what they call an honorary, Victoire d'honneur, for, this is usually for really older people. I mean, let's face it, because it's for the achievement.
It's a lifetime career achievement.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when they called me up, I remember very well, it was last year, they called me up and they said, we'd like you to come and perform at the Victoire. And I said, oh, what is the date? And they gave me that. I said, I'm really sorry, but I can't. I'm actually playing the night before, the night after, and it's too complicated. And then they were insisting, and then finally they told me what they said. And they said, well, you really should come. But if you come, we're going to give you this. I said, well, maybe I will come. But I felt so old suddenly. I was just going to say that
to you. You know, when they start honoring you for a lifetime career, you say, wait a minute, what's going on here?
I was getting a bit worried. I said, is there anything I should know about it?
I'm not dead yet, right?
I know, exactly.
Tell us, are you going to play with the Philadelphia Orchestra at any time?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I play, I of course play every summer.
At Saratoga, yeah.
But I will play also back in this season. I'm down on top of my head now. I think it's next season. I don't think this season. I think it's next season, but especially now that Maestro Dutoit is there.
Yes.
And he was so sweet. I mean, he's such a very wonderful conductor, but he's such a close friend, and I admire him so much, and he's really one of the very, very special conductors and colleagues in this world for me. And when he got the appointment there, we were actually together in Saratoga shortly after that, and he told me, you know, I want you to be soloist in my first season there.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well,
so we do have a date. I forgot what it is. I think it's in 08 or 09. I think it's next season, but I will definitely come back there.
And you don't know what you're going to play yet, right?
I think I do. No, I think we chose it already. He wanted a program that we've done in a lot of other places and we hadn't done in Philadelphia, which is quite interesting. He wants me to play two pieces. I will play the Ravel Left-Hand Concerto.
Oh, it's wonderful.
And the Liszt Totentanz.
Yeah.
So it'll be quite something.
Very demanding.
A lot of notes for me.
I was going to say, and so you need about a year and a half to think about it,
That's
I guess.
Right. And a lot of vitamins.
Oh, yes, vitamins. And also, your mindset, I think it's very different, isn't it, when you're doing film music, when you're doing a popular vein, and then you're doing jazz, and I mean, it's really a whole other thing.
It is, but it's so funny. People ask me that often. I have absolutely no problem switching. I could do it in the same, you know, program. I do sometimes. I mean, I usually don't include jazz in my recitals, but I certainly do it in encores. And I can certainly switch from a piece by Chopin or whatever, Brahms, whatever, then suddenly sit at the piano and play something completely different. I have no problem switching. For me, it's the same. I mean, music is music, and it all is very close to my heart and my soul, and I just play it the same way. I mean, I have no...
And you respect it. I think that's the real answer.
Literally. I respect every kind of music when there is the quality and the talent there, and I think it's all those classifications. I mean, they have, in a way, to be somehow, but they should not be so far from each other and with such... I don't understand why it has to be, you know, this is classical and you do this, and this is jazz and you do that. I mean, they're all connected. All those composers were inspiring each other. Look in the 20th century. All the classical composers were inspired by jazz and vice versa. It's all part of the same...
Music is music is music.
Exactly, and I think Duke Ellington said it, and I cannot think of a better...
Yes, it's good music.
Exactly. He said it. Only two kinds of music, the good one and the bad one.
Yes, I think so.
And if it's good, it's good. Whatever it is, it's good music.
Now, with the jazz, do you improvise at all? Or
I'm still not great at that.
Yeah, it's
that's
hard.
A very difficult
thing. Very, very difficult. And I think that's the one thing classical performers are confronted with, because
exactly.
It's not really part of when you study, you don't think that way. Whereas jazz, that's an inherent part of what you do.
Well, we just are not trained for that, you know, unfortunately, because I think in the old days, people were trained for that. When you think, if you go back to even the time of Mozart.
And Bach.
Those people were improvising all the time.
Yes.
Which is why Mozart, for example, didn't write a lot of cadenzas in his concerto, because the pianist was supposed, at the time of the cadenza, to just improvise. Now, if you try to ask a classical pianist now to improvise a cadenza on the spot, I think he's going to have a heart attack before he even arrives at the cadenza, including myself. And that's the problem. So we've lost completely the ability to improvise, and it's just not taught at schools. And I think it's very sad. Because
you think it's necessary?
I think it would be a good exercise. I think it's wonderful to improvise. I've always loved, I mean, improvising in the sense I remember, even when I was a kid, when I would have practiced all day and finished all my things that I had to do, I would just sit down at the piano and just improvise for some time, you know, quite a long time, just for myself and my own pleasure.
Well, I'm sure the transcriptions that you do are kind of like that.
Yeah, it's a little bit of it, but it's just a very different...
Mindset.
Yeah, mindset, exactly. You just have to completely free yourself, be relaxed, and forget about everything you've learned, which is to read a score and to follow a score,
yes,
and to respect a score.
Exactly.
There you just have to reinvent everything.
Yes,
it's really not easy. So I'm working in it, but I still have a long, long way to go. And I will probably never be, you know, a great jazz pianist, which is perfectly fine. But I'm enjoying just the little that I'm doing, and I hope I can do a little bit more, a little bit better, but it's just for me, it's a great pleasure, and I just need to do it, and, you know, it doesn't matter if I'm not the greatest, it's just...
Well, I think
different.
You've certainly covered every base that you possibly could. How about contemporary music in terms of...
Oh, I do. I'm very interested in contemporary music, and actually, in the next two seasons coming up, I have a lot of big projects that I'm very much looking forward and very proud of. The first one is already this season, actually. This is a fabulous composer who is teaching at Juilliard called Behzad Ranjbaran.
Okay.
And Behzad is writing a piano concerto for me that will be premiered with the Atlanta Symphony and Robert Spano in June in Atlanta.
Yeah.
A concerto for Joshua Bell that was very successful. He also wrote a cycle of songs for René Fleming. He's a marvelous composer. What I like about working with composer, and for me, the entire idea, the only reason to do it is that when, first of all, of course, you like the composer, you like his music, and you feel close to his music, you feel inspired by his music. But it's also the relation with the composer that Behzad has been following me for many, many years. He knows me so well. He heard me so many times. Sometimes he even comes when I'm in New York to my dressing room when I'm just practicing.
Uh-huh.
He's completely fascinated by how I do things, and this is so important. So this guy is writing a piece thinking about me, writing a piece for me, and that makes it so special and so unique that it's just not a piece that he's writing. It's just writing it for me, thinking of what I can do, what he thinks that
your capabilities
better, and that's so special.
Yes.
So I'm very excited about that. And then I do the same year later with one of our best French composers called Guillaume Connaisson, who is rather young and extremely talented as well. And the same thing, I adore his music. And we spoke together, and I said, would you consider writing a piano concerto for me? He said, I haven't done yet a piano concerto. It's very difficult to write for piano and piano and orchestra, and I wasn't sure I'm ready. But now, actually, I was thinking, but I feel that it's time for me to do it. So he's going to do it for me as well, and I'm very excited. And that's very important. I mean, being an artist of the of our time, we have to do that. This is how we have all the great repertoire that we have now, is because artists ask the composers and commission the composers in the old days to do it. This is the music for the future, and yes, we need to renew the repertoire, and we need to do it.
And it refreshes everything, yes. And, of course, you did that recording of the Saint-Saëns, the piano concertos, which is hardly, that's old repertoire already, isn't it?
Yeah, that's really part. It's a funny thing, because I've been playing those concertos since I'm a kid, and it was a project that we had for Decca, probably, we've been speaking about it, probably for 15 years, and I'm not exaggerating. I mean, because it really is my kind of my repertoire, and we said we have to do the Saint-Saëns concerto. And for some reason, there was always something out that was coming up, and we kind of pushed them along. And then finally, recently, we went back to it, and we said, you know what, how about doing the Saint-Saëns? And what I said, it's just about time, let's do them.
So you did, and they're gorgeous.
And we did, and I'm so happy.
Wonderful recording, yes.
Very well received everywhere, and of course, I wanted to do it with Charles Dutoit, because we performed it a lot together, and I thought he was going to be fantastic for that.
Well,
we had a wonderful time.
So I look forward to your coming to Philadelphia, and we have some very exciting things to look forward to when
Absolutely.
You do come. And I hope to meet you then. It's really been a joy speaking with you.
Well,
thank you so much.
Next time, come backstage. When I play somewhere in Philadelphia, just come and say hi.
I certainly will.
Introduce yourself.
Okay, Monsieur. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye.